What's so important about growth?
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM in New York, this is the Marketplace Midday Update. I'm Jeremy Hobson, and it is the 26th of April, a Friday. The government said today that the U.S. economy grew at a rate of 2.5% last quarter. That was below expectations of 3% or more. Economists are reacting differently. Some say it's okay. Some say it's pretty weak. But everyone seems to agree that no matter how big our economy gets, growth is always a good thing. So why is that? Marketplace's Noel King reports.
To answer this basic but crucial economic question, I turned to David Weil, a professor of economics at Brown University. I asked him, why isn't it enough for GDP to just stay the same?
GDP growth is linked to jobs growth. So unless the economy is growing rapidly enough, it's not going to be able to absorb the new workers who are coming in, much less reduce unemployment.
So each year, every new and bigger crop of young people counts on GDP growth to make room for them in the job market. But GDP growth also affects the way we think about ourselves as a nation. Richard DeCaser is an economist with Wells Fargo.
Most people would agree, I think, that output and hence their ability to consume should improve. This is sort of the American dream, things getting better as you look forward into the future.
And that applies to small companies, big corporations, and the U.S. economy. I'm Noel King for Marketplace.
So even if the government does tell us that the economy is growing at 3%, there are going to be a lot of people with doubts. Is it real growth, or are we just on the edge of another crisis? Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell has been exploring this lack of confidence, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, so Chris, I mean, the stock market is doing well now. The housing market's starting to get better. The job market is getting better. But it seems like every time there's a possibility that something could go wrong, even if it's as small as Cyprus, everybody's worried we're about to go right back into 2008.
You know, Jeremy, I think there is a trust gap that's going on. I mean, you're absolutely right. It's not just Cyprus. Now we're going through the sequester. And then there's a discussion. In August, we're going to deal with the debt limit ceiling again. And so there is just this sense that every time we start growing, you know, something comes up, something stops us from growing. And what it is partially our institutions. Pew has a survey. Only 26% of Americans trust their government. And it's not just government. Do you trust the banking industry? Take a look at the surveys on the banking industry, the high-paid CEOs. We have seen with Enron and WorldCom and the banking implosion, and now what's going on in Washington, D.C., a gradual erosion in trust in the elites, in the major institutions of our society, and that is weighing on our economy.
Well, what's it doing? I mean, what is the economic impact of that lack of trust?
Okay, so this is something that economists love to study. You know, we typically think about land, labor, capital, right? That's what economists talk about when they're talking about economic growth. But trust really matters because trust is the key. It's the core ingredient in any commercial transaction. I have never met anyone from Amazon. And yet when I go online and I buy a book, I trust that that book from Amazon is going to be there.
Yeah.
So trust is a key ingredient. And there's a lot of evidence that with less trust in your elites, less trust in your institutions, you have a less innovative society and you have lower economic growth.
So what do we do, Chris, to get the trust back? Does it just take time?
Well, part of it takes time. And I really think that we need a sense that our institutions are functioning better. So in Washington, what does that mean? That means compromise and actually passing some legislation. What does that mean in terms of corporations? All right, CEO, you get paid a lot. Why? You know, tell me why you're getting paid as much as you are. What justifies this? And what about the ranks? So I think there needs to be a greater sense of justice and a greater sense of accomplishment. And over time, that would help restore some trust.
Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell, thanks as always.
Thanks a lot, Jeremy.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to freakonomicsradio.com.
Some new research finds a link between Google search terms and the stock market. In other words, check out what people are searching for and then buy or sell. Tobias Price at Warwick Business School in the UK is one of the researchers who did the study, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
So explain your theory.
So what we see is that on increases in searches for financially related terms, we see that it's likely to have subsequent stock market falls. So if we have in this week an increase in searches like, for example, say debt compared to previous weeks, then we take this as a sign of investors' concern. So this means we are opening a short position in the coming week, so selling the market on the Monday or depending on holidays on Tuesday or whenever the first day is, and close the position 1 week later.
So it's easy, it seems, to look back and see how this might have played out. Could you actually use this data to look forward and make your investment decisions based on what people are searching for?
So that's, of course, the crucial question and the really exciting question. So in order to explore this, we used a set of 98 keywords, not only financially related terms like Nasdaq, NYSE and debt, but also terms like garden, restaurant, color, cancer and others. Hmm. And by ranking these keywords by their performance, we clearly find that financially or more financially related terms perform better overall. The main result of our paper, the striking result, is that this index of financial relevance is correlated with the return of our strategy. In other words, the more financially relevant a term is, the more likely you get a successful strategy.
So I guess the only problem is trying to figure out if somebody types in McDonald's, do they want to invest in McDonald's or do they want to go buy a burger?
Absolutely. So we do not claim that this relationship is perfect. So with all these big data analyses, you have to deal with the problem that you have a very low signal-to-noise ratio.
Tobias Price at Warwick Business School in the UK, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And finally, to the most stressful states in America, according to a survey from Gallup, which asked people if they were feeling a lot of stress the day before the survey. Number five is Massachusetts, where 43.4% answered yes. Number four is Utah, then Kentucky, Rhode Island. And the most stressful state, according to the survey, is West Virginia, where 47.1% answered yes. We've got the full list up at marketplace.org. And to reduce your stress as we leave today, I'm going to give you some music from the least stressful state in the survey. So, aloha. New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.